Acts chapter 2, we were there last week. We shall return there for just a few moments this morning. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 36. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 36. And it says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And it says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" If I could just recap for just a couple of moments, some things I spoke about last week. We talked about this idea of becoming a church member. There's a book that we handed out a few months ago. We'll offer that again if you would like a copy of this small book written by Tom Rainer. I am a church member. We will give you a copy of that book free of charge. Please read it and look at it. Some very interesting and powerful things in that book that we want to begin to implement some of those things in terms of our church family here. But we begged the question last week, if we're going to give you a book and we're going to consider this idea of what it means to be a member, we need to describe what you're becoming a member of. We talked about what it means a little bit to be a member, and what we said or what we shared, what I shared from this stage last week, is that you're not merely becoming a member of some club. This isn't Kroger's Rewards Club or Sam's Club or Costco. This is a movement. This is the movement of God, the movement that started long, long, long ago when his creation was corrupted, and he has now decided to use us in the renewal and refreshing and rebuilding of his creation. This is a movement. God has invited us into this movement. He has included us in this movement. This isn't something that he's just going to do alone, but he has made provision so that all of us would be a part of this great movement to renew the earth, to redeem mankind, and to reconcile people one with another. This is a movement that assumes some things. It assumes this first and foremost, and we just read it here, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, don't forget that. Don't dismiss that. Don't say, "Oh, that's just something I know about. Let me shelve it over here and I'll come back to that." No. Everything you do, everything you say, every word you speak, every action you take, every step you take, it has to be driven and fueled by that foundational truth that Jesus is Lord. You are not the Lord of your life. Your parents are not the Lord of your life. Your boss is not the Lord of your life. Your spouse is not the Lord of your life. Jesus is Lord of your life. And if he is Lord, what his concerns are becomes your concerns. The things that he believed in, we believe in. The things that he did, the people he befriended, we befriend. The way he loved is the way we love. The way that he had faith is the way that we had faith. The way that he did things in the kingdom of God is the way that we will do things in the kingdom of God, because Jesus Christ is Lord. It also assumes being a part of this movement. It also assumes this, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It's time for us to stop thinking that we can actually build a box and put God in it. We need to stop thinking that we can draw some dimensions and say, that's God, and God can only do in this space and in this little box. We need to understand that God is bigger than our imagination. He's bigger than our thoughts. He's bigger than our theology. He's bigger than our teaching. He's bigger than our understanding. He's bigger than everything we see or understand, and he is able to do even bigger than what we can imagine or what we can come up with in our minds. From the Message, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 and 21 says this. It says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Our God is a big God, amen? And so being part of this movement assumes that Jesus is Lord and God is big and he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And so many of us left last week. Last weekend, we were a little pumped up and some of us walked away with, okay, good pep talk. Now what? Because our church tends to be good at talk. But then where's the action? We've been here before. We talk a good game, and then we leave it at that. Where do we go from here? Well, I don't want to answer a lot of those questions right now because I don't want us to go too far from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. I think there are some important things that we have to drill ourselves with, some important things that we need to consider as a part of this movement. And a lot of that power, a lot of that information is found in Acts chapter 2. And I want to consider that for just a few moments this morning. Last week, we launched from a place during the day of Pentecost, when Jews from all over gathered around to celebrate that festival. And Peter, one of the apostles, stands out amongst the rest of the apostles, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he preached Jesus as being Lord. And the people responded when they heard those words in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36 and 37. It says, when they heard Peter say, God has made this Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, says they were cut to the heart and they asked them, what shall we do? And Peter did not disappoint. He said, there are some things you need to do. You need to change. The first word that comes out of Peter's mouth is repent. Repent is a Bible word, but let's not get it twisted and make it all difficult. The word repent means change. The first thing that Peter recognizes as being empowered by the Holy Spirit is that the people in the audience who was asking this question, who were cut to the heart when they heard that Jesus is Lord, what shall you do? What should you do? You need to change. Now understand that this is no different from the message that Jesus preached when he was here on this earth. Read Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. When Jesus began his ministry, he says he came preaching the kingdom of God and repentance. He came to preach change. But he tells them something else to do. He says you need to be baptized, be cleansed, be renewed, get into contact with this movement of God through his work. Not something that you're doing, but something that God is doing. So change and be cleansed. And then it says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a way to say that you are empowered and commissioned to get out of the way. Empowered and commissioned to get out of the way. This is the movement of God, not the movement of my agenda, not the movement of my way, not the movement of my thinking or my theology. This is the movement of God. Change, be cleansed, and get out of the way. When the people in the first century entered God's movement, it was imperative that they change and get out of the way. You know, maybe a better way of saying or defining or describing baptism is saying that they needed to change and they needed to die. Again, this is no different from what Jesus preached when he was on the earth. You do recall that Jesus, when he was on earth, did a lot of amazing things, did a lot of miracles, did a lot of things that caused a lot of people to say, man, I'm going to follow that cat, man. I like what he got to say. I like that he's, you know, he's standing up to authority, man. I just like the way that he just does things, man. He's not walking around with like a swag walk or anything, but it's just a thing that's things that he does. It's just is something about him. And there had to be hundreds of people, but perhaps even thousands of people who followed Jesus. And then there was one day I remember Jesus saying that in order to be a disciple, You've got to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You know, those had to be some cutting and hard words for some folks to hear. You realize that the place where Jesus said those words, like take up your cross, was probably in an eyesight distance or earshot distance of a hill, where folks were hanging on crosses and dying. And so to hear Jesus say, you need to take up your cross and die, with the backdrop of people hanging on crosses and dying, there were some people said, boy, you must be outside your mind. It was all good when you was healing people and bringing people from the dead and healing lepers and all that, but you done gone too far. There were other times when Jesus says, you know, you've got to partake of my body and my blood, which was another way of saying, you have to get out of the way. And there were people said, I'm out of here. And those hundreds or perhaps thousands of people, many turned around and walked away. And on the day of Pentecost, waiting in that upper room, there were about 120 people left out of all of those hundreds that had been called. Perhaps those others were struggling with this idea of getting out of the way. But those who stayed saw the wonders of God. And they entered God's movement, and it was imperative that they change and get out of the way of what God was doing, or better said, getting caught up in what God was doing. And as a result, we read one of the most important summary statements in all of Scripture. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, this is after several of them listen to what Peter had said when he said, repent and be baptized. In Acts 2:42, it says, They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together. Let me read that again. Every day they continued to meet together in the... Let me read that again. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Let me say that again. And the Lord added to their number daily. Let me say that one more time. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There is one word to define what I just read. Commitment. They were committed. They were committed to God. We see that in being connected with prayer and teaching. We see that they were committed to each other, fellowshipping, breaking bread, meeting with each other daily. And they were committed to mission. And we see that this wasn't just a one-day event, but God was adding to their number daily. Commitment. You want to be a member of a country club? I don't know how much commitment. Anyone here a member of a private golf club, country club, sports club, rotor club? I don't know what other type of clubs. I don't know if they have like commitment deals. Like, so you pay your $5,000 membership dues and you have to play golf once a week. Is that a requirement of being a part of a golf club? I don't know if there's any other club. No, if you go to you buy a Sam's Club membership, you're a member of that club. Is it a requirement that you go shop at Sam's once a week or twice a week? Is that a requirement? Not a lot of commitment to be a part of those clubs. When you talk about becoming part of God's movement, commitment, church. This is what I see in Acts chapter 2. Commitment. They met together daily. They didn't make excuses about how busy their schedules were. They didn't make excuses about how much time demands for us to meet together. They met together every day. And God was adding to their number every day. Church, I said last week that in many ways, the church has left the movement. And that's why people are leaving in droves from churches, because we've got caught up in other stuff, man. We've got caught up in issues and politics and just junk. We've left the movement. The movement was about commitment. Commitment to the way of God and commitment to God's people. You know, we have a small group ministry here, and several of you are members of those small groups, and I think weekly or bi-weekly, we try to encourage everyone to become a part of a small group. I just gotta say this. If you're not part of a small group community, you're just robbing yourselves of a deeper experience with God and with God's people. If you're not a part of a small group, you're missing out on transformational activity. But perhaps one of the reasons some of you aren't in small groups is because we've never asked you to commit to small groups. Maybe there's a lot of things when it comes to church that quite simply as a church, we just have not asked for commitment. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church out in California, said, if you never ask people to commit to something, they won't. I wonder when it comes to commitment, are we so afraid to ask for commitment or require commitment because we're in such a free society and we don't want to offend anyone by dare saying, listen, you need to get in a small group. You need to become of a small group. It doesn't have to be on one of the groups that meets on Sunday nights. It can be in a group that meets on another night. It can be a group that you start. But if you're not part of a small group community, you're robbing yourselves. You're missing out on the movement of God. Commitment. That's what I see in Acts 2:42. I see folks who are willing to give and die for one another and serve one another and help people out. That was just a natural expression of being caught up in the movement. People said, my stuff isn't my stuff, it's our stuff. It's a movement. Well, that sounds like a cult, Dion. That sounds like the Bible. See, it starts with the confession. Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is Lord, our perspectives change. Our feelings change. Our thinking process change. But know this, that in the movement of God, there is a character. There is a character who just assume this movement derails, stops, gets abandoned. There is a character that would just assume that churches leave the movement, because if churches leave the movement, it puts that character out of business. And that character is the evil one. That character is Satan. Satan will try to stop us. He'll do things. He'll throw things at us to try to stop us. Once we start getting fired up and start becoming more committed to the way of God, committed to one another, committed to his mission, once we start doing that, the evil one says, we can't have none of that. We need to throw some at him. Church, he's coming after us, church. He's coming after Reynoldsburg. We're trying to renovate an auditorium. We're trying to renovate an auditorium. We should have been back in our auditorium a month ago. And I guarantee the evil one had something to do with that. Said, oh, and I'll mess it up. I get them fighting over that auditorium. That's what I do. I get them fighting over the carpet. And I get them fighting over the paint colors. I get them fighting over, oh, man, that wasn't done right. But guess what? He failed. Because guess what? We're working together to get it back together. Isn't that what God's people do? When you're part of a movement, you say, Satan, you might try to stop us, but it ain't going to work because we're part of a movement. You know, Satan will throw out some issues. He gonna throw out some issues at his church. He gonna throw out some, oh, hey, you don't like what that person is doing, or you don't believe what that person believes, and y'all can't walk together if y'all don't believe the same things. Y'all can't walk together if y'all have different opinions on these things. Let me throw that out there, church. It's coming. We need to watch out because Satan wants to stop this movement. But we need to understand that God is bigger than Satan, right? He's bigger than that evil power. He's bigger than anything or anyone that tries to stop what we do. He's going to try to stop us. It's going to get difficult, church. When you're part of the movement, read the book of Acts. Everything wasn't clear sailing. Just as soon as they got fired up, they got persecuted. People got thrown in jail. People got beheaded. People got stoned, but they kept on going because they were part of the movement of God. So even though these difficulties come, there is nothing that God can do. Remember, I think I read something in the Bible that says God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Is that in the Bible, church? God is bigger than all of these things. He's bigger. But being a member of this movement is having an understanding that God is bigger and that it takes commitment. Had a friend that I'm on, friends with on Facebook, and he's part of a new church plant, and they're going to be having their first worship time together in a few weeks. So he asked us, if you were starting a new church, what two songs would you sing? An older song and a newer song. And I watched that post on there for several days, and several people looked at it, but no one responded. And so days passed, and I looked at it. I said, man, I think this guy is really asking us for some help. Somebody ought to respond. So I responded with two songs. I said the new song that I would sing is God of the City. It's a song we've sung here a couple times. Justin Kuhn, man, I just have to, like, praise God for something you did. The elders and Justin and I went on a one-day sort of retreat getaway at a retreat center here, and we just prayed and talked about church and things in our lives. And during that time, the four of us all shared like a reflection on a scripture or a thought, and had some discussions surrounded on that. And Justin shared some things similar to what he shared when he preached a couple weeks ago at graduation Sunday from Jeremiah 29 and 11. Which is a very popular verse. You know, I know the plans,
you know, to prosper you and all, and we stick with that verse, but we don't read the things before it. And the things before it, man, I've been really just, ever since you mentioned those things several weeks ago, just been stuck. You know, you ever have that passage just won't leave you alone, and you keep going back, it keeps messing with you. And in that passage, and I don't want to re-preach Justin's sermon, but God says, listen, you're going to be enslaved. You're going to be oppressed. You're going to Babylon. It ain't no. If a prophet comes and says you're not going to Babylon, they're lying. You're going there, and God tells the people, I want you to build houses there. I want you to marry there. And God essentially says, I want you to prosper that city. I want you to bless that city. And when you bless that city, I'm going to bless you. And that's why if I was singing a song at a new church plant, I would sing, you're the God of this city. Understanding that we are joining God in mission, joining God in mission, joining God in the city to do some powerful things, some greater things in this city. God has called us not to abandon this city, not to build forts and come inside and hide and say, look at how bad it is out there. He's called us to live out there. You know, we just painted two houses in Linden. And do you know on Friday night, there were like four murders in Linden area? Four. And I think another one is on life support or something. Five shootings, four dead in the Linden area. Now, I'm not saying that just painting a house is going to change Linden area. But painting houses in Linden is a way of us saying, you can't get rid of God's people out of the city. He's the God of this city, and we're going to join him in the city. The other song that I would sing, so he wanted a new song, God of the City. The older song would be, All to Jesus I Surrender. Why would it be All to Jesus I Surrender? Because if any of us dare plant a new church in the middle of the city, it takes complete surrender to God. Everything. Time, money, career, family, lifestyle. Complete surrender to God. Being a member of God's movement is being committed to God's city. And making that confession that Jesus is Lord of everything. It's all his. Before we start a program, start a ministry, start a 501c3, before we start to heal these kids, you know, listen, in Africa, there are kids dying because they don't have a net. That's nonsense. We are the richest nation in the world. Our churches is full of people who are well off. And it costs how much? A dollar or so for one net? There's no reason. You can give some spare change in these boxes. We can put in those boxes some stuff that jingles, but let's put in some stuff that folds. And let's try to wipe out malaria in Africa. If all the churches in this country, no matter your denominational stripe or tribe, I don't care. If we all work together and raise enough money, we could wipe out malaria in Africa. We could do it. But Satan says, nah, man, y'all disagree with each other. Y'all can't do that together. No, y'all can't do that. Church, this is a movement. And I want to know if you want to be a part of a movement. If you want to be part of a club, I'm not sure that God's church is the place for you. I hope that doesn't sound rude or mean. All are welcome. Jesus said all are welcome. But you got to take up your cross. Get out of the way. and be empowered to let God do his thing. Is that all right? This is a movement. And I pray that you would get caught up in God's movement. Let's pray. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of all of our praise. And God, we thank you for choosing us and selecting us to be a part of your movement, to be a part of your mission, to renew this earth, to redeem mankind, and to reconcile men and women with one another. Father, we make that great profession as a body that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we want to be caught up in this truth that you are the God of the city, that in order for us to be completely caught up in this movement, we have to surrender all. You have to become all to us. You have to become our everything. God, our relationship with you cannot be limited to a Sunday or a Wednesday. It can't be limited to some flash experiences with one another in the body. God, this needs to be a daily experience. Father, I'm praying that you would convict us. I'm praying that you would overwhelm us with the truth of your mission. That you need folks who are all in, not partly in, but dedicated, devoted, and committed. And Father, we understand that the danger of laying that out and making an expectation of all or nothing may cause some to say, I can't handle it. There were people who walked and saw what your son did and they walked away. God, I'm praying that in light of all that you have done for us, all that you're doing, all that you've revealed to us, that we wouldn't walk away, but we will walk toward you and be enveloped in your movement. Father, Jesus is Lord, and his way is our way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.